thank you and appreciate you for your giving. We do have a few special things planned, and I do want to share. We are celebrating, but just because we're celebrating doesn't mean we're not still grieving. We're not still processing. You can be on a grief journey, and there's several things that can be on that journey. And those of you who have been a part of the ministry, you know this, but those who aren't, for the last 5 years, I have preached at least 40, almost 45 funerals myself. And that takes its toll. And so one of the things that I have been telling my church that I do, I go to therapy. I have a therapist. Everything cannot be prayed away. Some things, it takes a little more than that. And so I've been encouraging those in our ministry to take advantage of that. But at this time, we have someone who actually is in that field, and we're going to allow her to speak to us and tell us more about it. So would you guys flash her name on the screen for us? And we want to welcome Miss Chantel White. Would you come and share with us? You can do it up here or down here. It's however you want. You want to do it down here? Okay. You want to be in the middle or on the side? All right, come on. I was hoping you say that anyway.
Good morning, everyone, and praise the Lord, saints. First, I want to thank Jaden's family and loved ones for inviting me to speak to you all today about Breaking the Silence, a journey toward mental wellness. As a therapist, I've seen both hidden struggles and the extraordinary strength that people carry. Mental health is not just about diagnoses or disorders. It's about how we think, feel, cope, and connect. Every person here has experienced sadness, stress, fear, and/or loneliness. These are human emotions, not signs of weaknesses. What happens when those emotions feel like they're drowning us? That's when support matters. We don't talk enough about the fact that healing isn't linear, that progress can look like taking a shower after days in bed or reaching out to someone instead of isolating. Mental wellness is built on small, consistent acts of courage. Too often, mental health struggles are met with silence or shame. We hear, "Just get over it. Be strong, or it's all in your head." We can no longer stand for this. Mental health conditions are real, treatable, and no one should have to go through them alone. While the Black church and spirituality are vital sources of strength, mental health and faith can coexist. It's important to shift the narrative from either or to and. Prayer and therapy can work together. Just as we go to doctors for physical health, we can go to therapists for emotional and mental healing. Therapy does not compete with faith, it complements it. Reframing therapy as a tool for healing and clarity will help shift the narrative, because God can work through people, pastors, doctors, and yes, even therapists. Therapy is not about fixing someone. It's about walking alongside them, offering tools, support, and a safe place to be vulnerable. Whether it's anxiety, depression, trauma, or stress, we all deserve peace of mind, and a chance to heal. So today, I challenge each of us to keep talking, share your story, ask for help, check on others, advocate for access to care, and normalize therapy. Together, let's build communities where mental health is treated with the same urgency and compassion as physical health. Because when we break the silence, we begin to heal, not just individually, but as a community. I want to leave you with this. Faith and mental health are allies. We can trust God and see a therapist. We can pray and take medication. We can have deep faith and still struggle with anxiety, depression, stress, and trauma. Healing is holistic, and in honoring the body, mind, and spirit is not a lack of faith, but a deep expression of it. Thank you.
We thank God for that, and hopefully that will lift our spirits. And now we have one other special song, and this happens to be Jaden's sister. And so would you go ahead and flash her name up on the screen for us? And we're going to have her come and minister to us as well.
Make sure we get this connected right. So I have this saying, and it's not really like an original saying. I mean, I feel like it's very biblical. It's you have everything you need. And for a long time, that's been kind of ringing. I think since about 2016, 2017, that's been ringing just in my life. Just you have everything you need. You have everything you need. And I feel like a lot of times we don't actually believe that, like, that what God has given us is enough, that the person that we are in this current moment is enough. So I just wanted to encourage y'all. This is an original song called River, and it leans into that theme of having everything you need.
From you, there is a mountain big enough to be moved by you. There is a body lost with no signs, and they're looking for you. Anoint your pot of gold, beautiful are the feet of those who share, who give, who love. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Your gospel, so live your gospel. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. This is your gospel. So live your gospel, so live your gospel. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence.
If you know that, can you sing that part with me?
Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence. I want to be overcome. Oh, I want to be overcome. Is inside of you.
Amen. We are so grateful for that beautiful selection. Let's bow our heads and we'll go into the Word of God. We'll pray briefly, and I mean briefly. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, bless this preaching moment in Jesus' name. Amen. We confess before the preaching moment, and so would you get your Bibles in your hands? And confess with me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Amen. So we have been in a what I call the S series. And so I want to give us just a recap and then lead us to where we're going today. And so the first message was surrounded, talking about how God has us surrounded when it looks like trouble has us surrounded. And then Palm Sunday, we talked about substituted, how God substitutes. Go ahead and catch me up in the back. Appreciate it. How God substitutes himself for us. He went to the cross for us. And then on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we talked about survived, how God ended up surviving death, hell, and the grave. And then last week, we talked about surrendered and how when Christ has died for us, one thing that we could do for him is to surrender. And today, we are closing this series out with sustained. Somebody say sustained. Give you a definition of sustained, and this is what it is. It is strengthen or support physically or mentally. This is in the Oxford Dictionary. The very first definition, there's several definitions of sustain, but the very first one is to support physically or mentally. And so I was thinking about what we're doing today, and May happens to be mental health. And we want people to understand that just because you need support doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you human, and we all are human. But even in our humanness, we are looking for God to sustain us. And so there is something in that definition that says strengthen or support. And so I wanted to give us a definition of support, and they'll put it up for us. And it's simply this, is to bear all or part of the weight of or to hold up. In other words, many times, sometimes we just need somebody to come alongside us and bear the weight and bear the burden. You're an awesome person. You're an amazing person. You're a good-looking person. You're an intelligent person. You're an anointed person. But you are designed to do it all by yourself. Amen. Some things will get heavy. Some things will get hard. I thank God for the mountaintops, but we don't always stay on the mountaintops. Sometimes we go from the mountaintops to the valley. And when you find yourself in the valley, it's great to know that God is in the valley with you. That's great to know. But sometimes, let's be honest, we can't see God with our natural eyes. So it's good when somebody comes along and supports and helps me out and lifts the burden and bears it for me. But let me add this. Sometimes the reason why people don't come and support, because we won't open up our mouths. We're so tough. We're so used to doing it all by ourselves. We got it all together. But I need you to understand it does not make you less than because you need support. We used to sing a song that said, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's family. I can't do this by myself. Yes, I have the microphone and I'm behind the podium. But when I hit those doors and I deal with life by myself, I need somebody to support me. And you need somebody to support you. And the problem with the church is many times the world has more support than we do. This gives you time for a quick story. It's not in my notes, but let me do it really quick. There's an old story about a man who used to be an alcoholic, and he got saved and was in the house of God, and he was doing well. He had been saved about 6 months, faithful to the house of God. And one particular Sunday, he showed up late. Real late. And everybody looked at him strange and looked at him funny. He didn't mean to be late. It was an accident that he was late, but he was late. But the church folk that he come to love, they made him feel so bad that he was late. He felt kind of odd. And even the wife that he came with, she got an attitude with him because he was late to church. And so on his way home from church feeling defeated, he, through the agency of the devil, listened to the devil and just stopped by the bar. He wasn't going to do anything. He was just going to stop by the bar and maybe check out the game. But while he was there checking out the game, he's seen a friend. He goes up to the friend and he's excited to see the friend. He opens up his arms and accidentally knocks
the person's drink over. And the drink went all over the friend. And opposite of the church, everybody got up and began to help out and support. Said, oh, it's no issue, brother. It's okay. It's just a drink. We can wash this off. We can clean it up. But the folk in the bar were more supportive than the folk in the church. And when he slipped back into the alcoholism, everybody in the church said, look at him. It's so bad him acting up the way he acted. But they don't know. They were part of the problem. They ran him away because he couldn't find help in the place he was supposed to find help in. I don't know if that was a fictitious story or a real story, but let me tell you, everybody sitting in here can tell you stories of church hurt where they didn't find the support they needed in the house of God. We got to change that. We got to fix that. So let's take it this way. Let's go to five reasons we need support. Five reasons we need support. Moving rather quickly. 1 Kings 19:1-3. Mother Mitchell, would you read this?
Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword.
If you know anything about this story, Elijah had one of the greatest victories of any prophet of all time. Verse 2.
Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.
So she threatened him in verse 3.
And he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there.
Mother Mitchell must have the wrong version because he was anointed. There's no way he could be anointed and afraid. Let's look at point number one of reasons why we need support when we are genuinely afraid. Yes, it often says in the Bible, fear not, but not fearing is a process. There are times where we are genuinely afraid and we need support. Let's move on. Let's look at 1 Kings 19:4. It says what?
But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers.
Saints, here's something you got to understand. Sometimes after your greatest victory, the assumption is we move into more victory. But sometimes we go from victory to sometimes defeat. Because here's the thing, whenever you have a victory, the devil that you had victory over, he gets mad and he does not take it lightly and he comes back. And so that's why sometimes you can be shouting on Sunday and be down in the dumps on Thursday. It doesn't make you less of a Christian. It just means you're living life. And I say it all the time, sometimes life just be life. And so here's point number two, reason why we need support. When death feels like a viable option. I know you're saved, but don't tell me you've never had thoughts of suicide. Some of us never have, but some of us have. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't sometimes think death is a viable option. But if you do, you need some support. You gotta tell somebody. Let's go to number three. Number three is this: when we are struggling to sleep or eat. Let's take it out of the real big, deep suicide thought and let's just take it to something natural. When you can't sleep and you can't eat, it might be time to talk to somebody. Some of y'all who really love to eat and you don't have an appetite, talk to somebody. Or when you're staying up at night and you can't get any sleep and you're just looking up at the ceiling. Your body is tired, but your mind won't shut off. Those are times you need support. Thank God for prayer. Pray if you need to pray. But sometimes when you get done praying, as we heard, you got to talk to somebody because we all need some support sometimes. And if we can convince people they're not Superman, many times you're more Clark Kent than you are Superman. Thank God for Superman. Thank God for leaping over walls and running through troops. Thank God for opening blinded eyes and raising the dead. But we don't live there all the time. Many times we live doing life through the trenches. We live under demonic oppression. We live with folk lying on us. We live with family members talking about us. We live with the boss not acting right. We live with the money funny and the change strange. We live in a life that has a lot going on, a lot of stress, a lot of things we're dealing with, and it's okay to seek support. Not only is it okay to seek support, it's okay to just to be honest with God and not try to be so deep all the time. Some of y'all good with your deep church face, but when you're with God alone, no need in putting on your deep church face. No need in talking about, Father God, I come to thee. There is no other one else I see. You ain't got time for all that. God, help me. God, if you don't make a way, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I may be the pastor on Sunday, but Monday, God, I need you to fix me. I need you to work me, God. Lord, make me over. Make me over again. It's in the times of sincerity that you find out that God is God on the mountaintop, but he's God in the valley. He's God in victory, but he's God in defeat. He's God in joy, but he's God in depression. He's God in peace, but he's God in grief. Once you realize he's God all the time, it'll free you up to not have so many church fake phony faces, and you can just be real with God. How you doing, Pastor Andre? I'm blessed and highly favored. That's not 365 days of the year. That's not 24/7. I know I'm blessed and highly favored, but sometimes I'm struggling in the process. And can you pray for me? And can you call my name out? And can you get me some help? And let me tell you, it's okay. It's okay. If Jaden was here, he would tell us it's okay. All right, let's move on. Let's look at verses 5 through 8.
He lay down and slept under a juniper tree.
Hold on. Time out. He didn't go to the altar. He didn't get no oil. We about to take communion. He didn't take communion. He just laid down. Sometimes your problem is you just need to go lay down. Go take a nap. Turn your phone off. Get off of Facebook and take a good nap. It'll bless your life. The problem you're dealing with is still going to be there tomorrow. Right now, I'm going to go to sleep. Growing up, my mother would say something that I didn't understand until I became an adult. She said, that trouble sent me straight to bed. There are some troubles that all you can do is just go to sleep. You might as well go to sleep. And sometimes our health is struggling because we won't go to sleep. Our mind is struggling because we won't go to sleep. Go to sleep. Take a nap. I'm not talking about just at night. I'm talking about in the middle of the day, 2 p.m. Go to bed and get some rest. Amen. And if you don't think this is spiritual, try it and see how many times the devil will try to interrupt your rest. That baby that's so sweet that you just put to bed, as soon as you lay down, he get up. That person that ain't called you in 2 years, soon as you lay down, here they come calling. Or you happen to find out that your favorite show is coming on. It was to be continued, and it's coming on when you said you was going to take a nap. Put it on record, watch it later. Prioritize your own rest, because sometimes sleep is of the Lord. All right, let's go back to that verse. Verse 5, he lay down and slept. What?
He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise, eat.
Sleeping and eating. Now, here's what it says. An angel touched him. Sometimes God can't move for you because you always get in his way. So that's why he needs you to go to sleep, so he can have an angel come in and do what he needs to do. Because many times it's not that God won't support you, it's that you always got to fix everything by yourself, with your hands. And God needs you to shut up, sit down, lay down, so he can go to work. Amen. A I tell this story all the time. I'll tell it again. I was working at Allison Transmission. I was working on this job that we had to put a big part, and you'd put it on this brooch. And then after you put it on the brooch, you would touch a button and it would cycle start and you'd go on to the next machine. It had about 7 machines. You were always going in a constant circle. But every now and then, the part would have a burr on it and it would get stuck. And you had this rubber mallet you had taken. You had to get it, knock it down before you could hit the button to cycle start the machine. And so I was working, and this particular part, it would not work. Now, normally when you had to use a rubber mallet, you hit it 2 times, it would fall into place. I'm on like my 5th, 6th, 7th hit, and it still would not seat into place. So I'm holding it with one hand, beating it with the other hand. If ever this happened, there was a larger rubber mallet that you would have to go get. So I let go of it to go get the larger rubber mallet, and it fell into place. And God spoke to me and gave me something that I've never forgotten. He said, that's the problem with some of my people. I would be able to help them if they get their hands off of it. Because the moment I took my hands off of it, it fell into place. Sometimes what you're dealing with is you got your hands in it. And if you can just get your hands off, God can move. God can work. It does no good for me to support you and you always trying to figure it out, fix it out. Guess what? If you could do it by yourself, you wouldn't need the cross and you wouldn't need a savior and you wouldn't need Jesus. Sometimes God needs you to just get out of the way so he can do what he needs to do. So once he laid down, the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And look at number 6.
Then he looked and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones. And a jar of water, so he ate and drank and lay down again.
Wait a second. I don't see nothing super spiritual. The angel touched him and gave him some carbs. Some of y'all just need some carbs. You hangry, that's all it is. You just need a Snickers and a good nap. And you can find out sometimes your depression would lift with a piece of sweet potato pie. Your depression might go if you just had something to eat. If you just take it down to brass tacks. Sometimes, and I'm being facetious, but sometimes we get so busy, we forget simple stuff. Yeah. Man, I haven't eaten. Your sugar is out of whack. You just need a peppermint. Sometimes them mean folk in church, don't be mad at them, just slide them something. Piece of candy and it'll balance them out. Sometimes we're so deep in our problem and our solution is very simple. Baby, go to lunch. I know you're working on your waist and so you're eating salads and vinegar oil, but every now and then get you an oatmeal pie, get you a cookie. It might bless your life. It may not be that deep. You might need something small. Amen. Look at what goes on in the next verse, verse 7.
The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you.
Lay down, eat, lay down again and eat. And then number 8, said, verse number 8 says what?
So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb. The mountain of God.
Man, that was some kind of supersized meal. He went 40 days and 40 nights off of a good home-cooked meal. Maybe that's your answer right there. But here's the fourth reason why we need support. It's also in there. Go ahead and put it up. When the journey is too great. Sometimes the journey is just too great. And that's why you need support. Here's the thing. If you're not doing anything major for the Lord, you may not ever go through anything major. If all you do is small, maybe you will only face that which is small. But if you are a business owner and you're trying to raise children, and the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, you're trying to create generational wealth and you're trying to break down generational troubles and demonic forces, it will not be very easy. It will be quite difficult to go against the grain and face everything that you're trying to face and go through what you go through. Have you ever looked back over your life and realize that I didn't have it as easy as other people. I was molested young. I went through this young. I was raped when somebody else wasn't raped. I went through this. It's because of the calling of God that's on your life. The calling of God was not on your life just when you recognized it. It was on your life when you were in your mother's womb. And the devil also knows that. And that's why he throws everything in the kitchen sink at you. And your journey is great because you are great. Yeah. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've never seen anybody use a missile to kill an ant. Never seen anybody use a machine gun for a spider. See, the bigger the enemy, the larger the weapon. Yeah. And the reason why the weaponry has been so great against you is because you're not an ant. You're not a spider, but you're a child of the King. You're a son and a daughter of the Lord. And that's why hell has been arrayed against you. And you're going to have some support because your destiny is just that great. All right, let's look at verses 9 and 10, 1 Kings 19, 9 and 10.
Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah?
What are you doing here? Verse 10.
He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel has forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away.
Here's the fifth reason why you need support. Go ahead and put it up. When we feel like we're all alone. Now hear what Elijah said and what he was saying. He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord. Saints, let me talk to you. This is what throws us sometimes for a loop, is the fact I've been doing the right thing. It's one thing if I was struggling and I ain't been to church and I haven't paid my tithes. And I haven't been reading my Bible and I haven't been trying to forgive folk, but I've been trying to do everything that they preach to me from the podium and life has gotten worse for me. Ask the Garretts, had they been faithful to the house of God when they faced what they face? They would tell you they've been doing everything they can. Life does not always make up and make sense like we think it does. In God, 2 + 2 don't always equal 4. Because life, like I said, it comes at us strong and fast. That's why we're so grateful for the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we live to live again. Whatever you don't get on this side, you're guaranteed to get on that side. So you got to hold yourself together. But there's sometimes you question the Lord. I've been doing everything I know how to do, and I still lost my marriage. I was a good wife, and he still cheated on me. I did right, and my son still went to jail. I taught my daughter well, and she still ended up with a baby out of wedlock. God, I don't get it. But let me tell you something. The folk out there don't want to talk to somebody who ain't never been through nothing. So sometimes you got to walk through stuff, not for you, for somebody else. I'll come back and I'll touch on that later. So let's look at 1 Kings 19, 11 through 20.
So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was bending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake.
Now, let's go to verse 13. Did you read that already?
After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing.
That's all I need. I want to jump to three reasons to trust God will sustain us. Go ahead and fast forward to those three reasons. We're going to have them put it up on the screen. Keep going, Sister Lana. It's over there. Yeah, that's the first one. Go back just one. So, three reasons to trust God will sustain us. And we just read it. Here it is. A, God's voice is greater than our distractions. Amen. I don't care what Trump is doing or what Biden would have been doing. I don't care what's happening around us. I don't care what your spouse, your children, your job. I don't care what's going on. God's voice is greater than the distractions. But sometimes you got to be still long enough to hear what God is saying.
Amen.
The scripture says, be still and know that I am God. So sometimes life will steal you, but in the still, some of your greatest revelations will come when you still. Just be still. Now, some of y'all parents who have young kids, sometimes that's all you want to say to your child, be still. When they just rambunctious and moving, I wonder, is God saying the same thing to us? Be still. One of the reasons why we get into so much trouble, because we're so busy, but all of our busyness is not God's business. So sometimes we just got to be still. All right, and so let's go to B. Here's the next one. It's not about us. It's bigger than us. I just told you that I was going to get to that, and so I'll do it real quick here. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, 15 through 18. Almost finished.
Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram.
Now, Elijah's gone through all that he's gone through. And God says, now go back. And then he says, go back through the wilderness. Sometimes God calls you to the wilderness, but then he says, I want you to go through the wilderness and anoint. Here's the thing. Many times the people you look at and say, oh, they're so anointed. Oh, they're so anointed. Oh, they're so anointed. You don't know what it costs for them to be anointed. But here's the thing. Once they've gone through what they've gone through, they can stand in the wilderness and still be anointed. They can stand in the desert and still find streams in the desert. They can look at a negative situation and find the positivity, because once you've been broken down and like Humpty Dumpty, you've allowed the king to put you back together again. You have a power that just don't everybody have. And that's why you become attractive to the world, because you carry something that folk don't carry. When you pray, heaven listens. It's not because you're special. It's because you've been through the battle. You've been on the altar. You've been in the trouble. You've been with tears. You've cried yourself to sleep. You've fasted through the midnight hour. But let me tell you something. When the oil gets crushed, when the olive gets crushed, it produces the oil. When the grape gets crushed, it produces the wine. And I'm looking at some people that's got some oil and some wine, and it didn't come by reading three books and spinning around. It came in the fire. But what I've learned, just like the three Hebrew boys, when I stepped in the fire, I found that there was somebody else that got in the fire with me, because he's a consuming fire. When I went to the battle, God got in my rock and he knocked down my Goliath. When I walked through the valley, he was there. When I was crying, he was there. When I was struggling, he was there. And that's why I praise the Lord, because he's there all the time. I don't trust a saint that don't know how to praise us. If you don't know how to praise, you ain't never been through nothing. But if you've been through hell and high water and you still got your praise, you still got your hallelujah, you still got your thank you, Jesus. I looked the devil in his face and you should have got up a long time ago. You should have took me out a long time ago. But because you left me here and I'm still breathing, I heard the Bible say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. If you see me and I'm not in church and I'm praising God, you got to understand my praise is not just a church praise. Some people have just a church praise. They got to wait till Sunday to praise. But when you've been through what we've been through, I don't just praise on Sunday. You catch me praising on a Monday. You catch me on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Because if I don't praise him, the rocks are going to cry out. If I don't praise him, somebody else will take my place. I got to give God praise and I got to give him glory. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon the Lord. People look at me and they ask me, how do you do it? And they're wanting me to give them some detailed revelation of how I do it. And I tell them, I don't know. And they look at me like, okay, Pastor, no, how did you do it? I don't know. Because if it had not been for the hand of the Lord that was on my side, I don't know how I've been married 25 years. I don't know how I've been in GM 27 years. I don't know how I pastored for 13 years, but it had to be God. I was ready to give up, but God stepped in. I was ready to throw in the towel, but God stepped in. I was ready to walk away, but God made a difference. It is of the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And Muncie got to look at the church and say, that had to be God. It's got to be, you got to be so powerful that the atheists say, even though I don't believe in God, there's something on you I can't deny. I can't deny the power that you have. Coming to a close. Let's look at verse 16. Verse 16.
Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel, and anoint Elisha.
Hold on. Anoint who?
Elisha.
Who?
Elisha.
Okay, read on.
Son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet.
Wait a second. Elisha did double the miracles that Elijah did. Yes. But you're telling me that it was what Elijah went through that caused Elisha to be anointed. What you're going through is not even for your generation. It's for the folk that's coming behind. So go through what you got to go through, because there's generations coming behind. And guess what? These generations, they're going to be seeking the Lord because of what you did. Oh, I got to get out of here. But when I was called myself trying to walk away from God, in a dorm room, getting drunk, trying to do my thing, it was the prayers of grandma that came back and arrested me and let me know that this ain't what you're supposed to do. I was looking in the mirror drunk and start singing, how I love Jesus. I can't even sing, and I was drunk, looking in the mirror and said, boy, you drunk. And in the middle of it, I said, oh, how I love, like, what is oh, how I started crying, because it was what the generation before me did that left a legacy, and I couldn't let it go. You're fighting for our children and our children's children and the children's children. Guess what? As for me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. Let's skip on, Sister Lana. We're gonna skip on to C, because I'm gonna go ahead and close. And here's, I stayed in Kings, and we're going to jump to Psalms for this. Here's the last reason why you got to know that God will sustain you. It's a promise from God to us. And God is a promise keeper. So let's look at Psalms 55, 22. What does it say?
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Woo. He will never permit the righteous to be moved.
Cast your burden on the Lord. And like we just heard, just because he is God doesn't mean he's going to take it directly. Sometimes he'll take it through things. Okay, give you an example. So if you want to get something to me and you don't feel like coming to my house, you're going to use the USPS, United States Postal System. You're going to give them the package and let them deliver it to me. So when we talk about getting a therapist, all you're doing is giving them your burden, but God's going to find it anyway, and he's going to sustain you. Don't carry it by yourself. Let it go, because God has promised that in the midst of it all, he will sustain you. Somebody say, he'll sustain me. Psalms 3 and 5.
I lay down and slept.
Here go that nap again.
I Amen. Woke again, for the Lord sustained
me. The Lord sustained me. All right, here's our final one, verse 3 of Psalms 41.
The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health.
You restore him to full health. I'm going to bring it down to just really plain talk. Where I said May is Mental Health Month. Let's talk about mental illness. Even in your mental illness, God will restore you. Yes. Don't feel bad because you have a mental illness. Here's the thing for some of y'all who are dealing with it. If we all dealt with what you had to deal with, we'd all be sick like you are sick. It's a possibility. But God doesn't just heal our physical bodies. He heals our emotional ailments. Yeah. If you know anything about the cross in Isaiah 53, it talks about how he was acquainted with grief. All of the things were not outward. Some of the things were inward. We get sick outwardly. We get sick inwardly. But God is the healer of it all. So let's check on ourselves and let's check on each other. Yeah. If I was to tell you I had a headache, you would say, oh, okay. Hey, get you some medicine. I'm going to pray for you. But if I tell you I got ADHD, what's wrong with you? I thought you were saved. No, no, no. I don't know why I got the headache, and I really don't know why I have ADHD. But all I know is I'm trusting God in the process. And if you would support me, then I can see that God will sustain me. But guess what? Even if you don't support me, I know God will sustain me. So whether you like it or not, I'm going to be sustained. I may be sustained through the oil on my head. I may be sustained through some Xanax, but I'm going to get sustained. Yeah. I'm going to get the help that I need because this generation's coming after me and I can't afford to let go. So I'm going to do whatever I have to do to remain healthy. I'm going to help someone else be healthy. All right, we're going to close with a confession. Then we're going to go into our communion. Here's our confession. I'm going to read it, and then we will repeat it together. So let me read it. Father, I thank you that I can hold on to your unchanging hand, and you will sustain me in my time of trouble. You will support me. You will uplift me, and you will bring me out. Amen. Let's say this together. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Repeating after me, Father, I thank you that I can hold on to your unchanging hand and you will sustain me in my time of trouble. You will support me, you will uplift me, and you will bring me out. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's clap our hands. We're going to transition into our communion. All right, we're going to go to the scripture. It's from Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. We'll do this together. It says, now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Let's take and let's eat. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let's drink. Amen. Let's go into our prayer. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, it was your blood. And if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, they've never received your blood, then that means they've never received your support and you can't sustain them. But I'm praying that they would ask you into their hearts right now, that they would just say, God, come into my heart and save me from my sin. And let your blood wash me, bathe me, and cleanse me, and make me new. And God, I know you will support them, and you will sustain them. And God, for those of us who are yet with you, walking with you, we've already asked you for your forgiveness and salvation. Let us know, no matter what we face, you can take us from height to height and depth to depth, and we can grow through anything that's ailing us because you are on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.